Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on VBSRadio.com. My name is Don Nikoloff. I'll be your host for the next hour, and we have a great show planned for you this evening. I want to invite everyone during the rest of this week to join us tomorrow to listen to Kenny Love, who is a musician, producer. He is a publisher, an author, and a music industry executive. And he's also very in tune to what's going on planet Earth. And so it will be a very enlightening show, I'm sure. Kenny is located in Houston, Texas, in the heart of Archie Bell and the Drells. And I'm looking forward to his first appearance on Evident Footprints. Friday night, I've got our regular Friday night guest, scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher Jim Murray. So you want to be sure to tune into that show. We've had some very interesting discussions in the past few weeks regarding Mars and space travel, flying saucers, the whole 9 yards, and maybe even 10 yards. So you're going to want to tune into that show as well. I've got some great guests lined up for the rest of the month, and the schedule is sort of just falling into place metaphysically. Normally, I like to stay ahead of bookings, but with all the things that are going on in the world, we want to keep some openings in case we need to discuss matters that affect the country. And pretty much everything we talk about on Evident Footprints does affect the country. And in some cases, the whole world. And I just want to assure all the listeners out there that you're going to be getting some new and very exciting, interesting, motivational, and inspiring guests coming on this show throughout the next month. And I'm pleased to announce also that Tony Elizabeth Sarap Petrinovich will also be with us in the third week of the month. Again, I've had a lot of requests to have her back, and we have quite a bit of information that we plan to share. So that, and Michael Anthony will be making a couple of appearances this month as well. That said, we are going to be discussing everything from music and art to metaphysics, the paranormal, the government, and conspiracies. Maybe not so much about religion this month, but we will be discussing science and ufology, and we'll be providing spiritual solutions to help you make some decisions in overcoming some of the forecast events that are coming up in our near future. We can affect our future, and we can do that by educating ourselves. And that brings us to, what a slick segue, that brings us to tonight's guest. He has a website which is called educate-yourself.org, and, or as he likes to say, educate-yourself.org. He is an investigative journalist. He is also a metaphysical scientist and a researcher. And his website is one of the most popular websites in the world for finding information that you will not get on the mainstream. In fact, you won't even see a lot of his publications on the alternative media, on the internet. With that, I would like to welcome back for another guest appearance on Evident Footprints, my good friend Ken Adachi. Ken, good evening.
Hi, Don. Thank you.
Nice to have you here. How's the weather in California today?
Oh, it's very nice. It was about in the mid-60s today, and very, very pleasant. It's a wonderful place to live. I really like living here.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Most of us like living, period, wherever we are. as long as it's peaceful and quiet and inspiring. The last time you were on the show, we talked about a bunch of different things, and I know that you have been following a variety of topics and pretty fervently. And one of them that I thought I might mention is these acts of love that are being perpetrated by law enforcement agents or agencies upon American citizens.
Yeah.
And I think you know what I'm talking about. The amount of unusually high deaths that are occurring as a result of the taser being fired at these people.
Yes.
And I know that you've just uncovered a tremendous amount of information, and the statistics are just off, you know, through the roof as far as counting the daily average of people who are being victimized by these weapons.
Yes.
You want to give us some background on
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, they essentially, the increase distribution and use of taser guns picked up a great deal in the year 2005. Prior to that, in 2004, there was some tasers with some departments, but the total amount of taser guns was relatively low in the country. But in late 2004, early 2005, there became a big push to get taser guns in the hands of law enforcement across the country. And what has been happening is anyone who's tracked the taser situation is that the inappropriate use of tasers is off the chart. First, there's no need for a taser gun. The arguments put forward by, you know, those groups, police departments or the federal groups who are encouraging the use of tasers, they're bogus arguments. We've had law enforcement in this country for a long time, and we've had people who behave violently, whether they're on drugs, and we're able to subdue people, regardless of what the circumstances are. It may take more. Of course, I'm talking about the worst case scenarios now, because most tasering events are not threatening events at all. At least, not threatening to the cops. It's often lethal to the victim involved. But there is no need to have tasers. It's an inappropriate weapon. It's a barbaric weapon. It's an instrument of torture. It's we have a new chapter in American law enforcement in this. Whenever a cop says something to somebody, if that person doesn't instantly snap to and obey every nuance of that cop's statements or words or orders, that man is eligible to get tasered because he's not complying. So we're using a new bit of jargon now. It's a compliant enforcement tool. It's barbaric. It's inappropriate. It's unneeded. Now, in the majority of cases, the taser is being used against people who have, oh, let's say, have diminished capacity, in the mental health area. Very typically, the person who gets tasered isn't snapping to when you know, Officer Rambo tells him to do X, Y, Z because, A, that person might not understand what Officer Rambo is saying, or he doesn't have the mental competency to react quickly enough to whatever Officer Rambo is barking in his face, and as a result of not obeying quickly enough, he will often get tasered. And one would have thought that when this weapon was originally issued, if we lived in a sane country with law enforcement who were interested in protecting the constitutional rights of citizens and protecting the public, or to serve the public, as their motto says. The taser gun could or should only be used in the most extreme cases, where all other avenues of subduing somebody or getting them to cooperate with you have been exhausted to the extreme. But we don't see that sort of judicious application at all. We have guidelines and so forth that some departments claim they follow, but or rules of use, rules of engagement, whatever the terms they like to use. Mm-hmm. They're too broad to interpret. It's too easy for a cop to simply taser somebody because they're claiming this person is presenting a threat to them, when in fact the person usually presents no threat at all. And very often you have a situation where the majority of victims that get severely tasered, and a certain percentage of them are killed, we'll talk about that in a minute, it's usually not a one-on-one situation, one cop, one person, one belligerent individual. It's very rarely that. It's usually a minimum of two, but often three, four, five, six, a dozen cops against one individual. In terms of just physically overpowering somebody, even if it's a big man, if 10 cops can't overpower a single individual, then we're hiring the wrong people to be cops. Now, I'm not particularly in favor of female cops because they lack both the strength and the physical attributes necessary for the job on a one-to-one physical combat level. So there you have a situation where if female cops are encountering somebody, they're going to probably even more quickly turn to using a taser gun than a male cop might use, because they don't have the physical ability to defend themselves against a big man. Now, this happened in Florida a number of months ago. There was the man in Florida, I think his name was Stanley Meyer, a student, who was asking questions at on a Florida campus at a meeting, which John Kerry, Senator John Kerry, was giving a talk, and he was taking questions at the end of the talk. This young man, Stanley Meyer, asked questions which Kerry's people and Kerry were not comfortable with. So he persisted in his questioning, and it didn't take long for the campus cops in the auditorium to close in on him. And the first cops to try to force this man away from the mic were female cops. And in the first instances of that encounter, Mayer didn't want to be taken away from the microphone. He wanted to speak his mind. And almost immediately, the small female cop pulled out her gun. And completely inappropriate action, but it's typical of what happens when you have female cops going up against a large male. They will resort to the gun before they will attempt to physically restrain somebody. Well, in the case of Mayer, it didn't take him long for three, four, and then five, and then six, seven cops to hustle this man to the back of the room. And then while they had complete control of him, he was not presenting a danger to anyone, as they claimed. He was merely protesting out loud that he was being prevented from getting an answer to his question, which he was. And because he protested, and because he saw them about to taser him, he yelled out, "Don't tase me, bro." And, of course, they tasered him anyway, not once but twice. And they let him out of the room, and they arrested him, and they do what they always do to people like that. And then the story of Stanley Meyer, instead of going out across the news service, because the incident was videotaped, it showed up on YouTube, instead of going out as a story which should get us to focus on the inappropriate application of taser guns, the Illuminati Ministry of Thought obligation, got talk show hosts, both on radio and television, as well as even news commentators, to comment about this man's tasering event in a comical, joking sort of way, and they captivated the expression "Don't tase me, bro," as the butt of a joke. So, what they did was they ridiculed this man. They ridiculed the circumstance, so we wouldn't be focusing on the seriousness of what took place on that campus. You had a place, university, where free speech ought to be sacred. You had a man who was not in any way being of a danger to anybody. He wasn't presenting a danger. What he was doing was he didn't shut up when they told him to shut up, but that's supposed to be the essence of free speech. He might have been obnoxious, he might have been overbearing, but he did nothing that would justify police closing in on him, carrying him away, and then tasering him in an audience, in an auditorium filled with students. And then there was one female student, I don't know who she was, but she had a lot of guts. She attempted to come to Mayor's rescue, and she was intimidated by a cop to back off, or she would be arrested too. That incident should have sparked a firestorm of protests around the country. The reason it didn't is because the media, the mainstream media and talk shows, etc., ridiculed it as the butt of a joke, and they kept on ridiculing it for weeks following. I caught many segments on particularly news shows in which some smart alecky commentator wanted to get in a joke near the end of the show, so they showed a bit of a clip from that, and they would say something very disparaging and ridiculing towards Mayer, because there was a national effort there to marginalize and simply wipe that event from the psyche of America as a preposterous joke, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in most cases, people who get tasered are not people who are necessarily engaging in criminal conduct. Occasionally, that comes up, but that's the exception. It's typically people who have an encounter with police in which the police simply say things like, well, the guy's looks suspicious, or he's acting suspicious. There was a man in an apartment who got tasered to death, a black man, I believe it was in, I'm trying to remember the state, I just read it a week or so ago. Well, it'll come to me. Oh, New York. It was near, I believe it was near Armonk, New York. He was living in an apartment house, and the police came to investigate, or a new cop. He'd only been on the force for a year and a half. I think he's 22 or 23 or 24 years old. Young cop. He was talking to a woman in an apartment next door, and the guy who had the next door apartment, for some reason, either was coming down the hall, entering the apartment. The cop had some words with him. I don't know the essence of it because the newspaper article didn't report it, but there's some words spoken. Well, it didn't take but 60 seconds or so for this cop to taser this man, because he and the man apparently was, he didn't want to have a confrontation with the cop, but the cop either was saying things then that were insulting, he was in his own, you know, building, he was going into his own apartment, and whatever transpired, the cop was going over the top, and maybe this man said something back to him, something like, I don't know what the actual words were. I plan to find out.
Mm-hmm.
But it took this cop less than a minute to start tasering this guy, and he doesn't stop tasering him. He keeps on tasering him. Then he calls for backup. Backup comes. The man stops breathing. They put him in the hospital. He dies. And the police and the autopsy is inconclusive, they say. Here's a man completely sober. He's about 36 years old. no drugs in them. Oh, they love to taser people to death and then claim it was the drugs that caused the death.
Where in this case it's electrocution.
It's strictly electrocution because the man had done nothing. He was not a criminal. He had done nothing. No, there are, the last time I checked, which was around November of 2007, about 4 or 5 months ago, there was 309 American citizens who were tasered to death by police. In the majority of cases, they were in relatively innocent circumstances. What I mean by that, they were street people in some cases, homeless people. In other cases, somebody was hiding under their bed or in their closet, and the cops told them to get out, come out from under the closet or bed, and the person didn't comply quickly enough. They got tasered. And typically there's 2, 3, 4, or 5 cops surrounding the victim, and they keep on tasering him. Well, you know, there's 50,000 volts involved between those barbs. And if you've ever gotten a shock from an electric outlet, that's 120 volts. Now, I used to be involved in electronic repair when I was younger, and I used to work on televisions, which has a high voltage section, and once in a while, when you're working on electronic repair, you get zapped. You know what you're doing. It's nothing major, but you just forget that capacitors can hold a charge, or sometimes you just make the wrong move. And this is extremely low current. There's not much current involved with television sets, but when you get a substantial zap, even of even just for a momentary split second of 25 or 30,000 volts, you don't forget it quickly. Even if it's just for a split moment, your finger slips on a chassis that you're working on that has a charge on it, and just for a split second, you get zapped. Whew. I know when it happened to me, I would be... it'd take a couple hours to calm down because it's such an immediate jolt to your system. Now imagine someone who's getting a full-on application of 50,000 volts continuously. So let's say for 6 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Do you know what that does to your nervous system? I mean, it literally fries you.
Yes, now, and, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the television set. I wanted to share something with you. I was going to bring that up. You know, the back of most TV sets has a warning sticker on the chassis or on the cabinet itself. It'll say, warning, do not remove, danger of lethal shock or fatal shock. Mm-hmm. And they're referring to the capacitor, which is capable of holding, as you said correctly, 50,000 volts of electricity. Now, I one time was working on removing a power supply from a set, you know, the transformer, and I was going to replace it with another one. And there was that accidental slip of a screwdriver. And, of course, this was a metal screwdriver. I wasn't adjusting the bias tubes or anything like that on a circuit board. I was literally removing this transformer, and it was in a strange place where when the screwdriver slipped off the screw, it shorted the poles on the top of the capacitor, and it fried the screwdriver. It literally arc welded it, and if you've ever seen what that looks like,
oh yes, I have.
You end up with a hole and a bent tip on this screwdriver, and this was a rather large screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine what it will do to soft tissue in the body, and the body is got moisture in it, it's got water in it, and other fluids, and the body acts as a capacitor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural capacitor of sorts. So the body does exactly what that capacitor does, and it takes on the charge of the television's capacitor, and it, as you mentioned, it happens in a split second, and depending on how much electricity was stored in there, it can be lethal. So we're not talking about a small, uncomfortable shock here. We're talking about something that definitely has a damaging potential. I mean, you can fry a person's brain, you can fry their nervous system, or you can induce a heart attack as just three of the symptoms of being attacked.
Yes, and that, of course, is what is happening in these cases of the taser deaths. And you have not only the inappropriate use of excessive, unnecessary force. The justification for pulling out a taser gun is simply, it's non-existent. I'm simply appalled at the sort of people who are in law enforcement today who are willing to inflict or prepared to inflict so much pain and possible death on an individual just because that individual isn't obeying every single nuance and doing it in time to satisfy this guy. I mean, I'm just shocked at the level of people that we have working law enforcement today. Now, when I was younger, cops were, and I came from a big city, a rough city. I've mentioned that to you before in the in the Northeast. It's as rough as a city as you can have. And I was born up, I was raised in a poor boy area, really the poorest south part of town. So I know what it is to live in a big rough city. And in the years that I grew up, no one that I knew of had any sense of a fear nor animosity towards the police. It just, the emotion didn't exist. You saw the cops and they behaved in a way. You saw them as people who stopped crime that was in progress, and or they prevented crime through their presence. They didn't act like Nazi brown shirts. They didn't act like goons, thugs, mobster thugs, who will just apply incredible pain to people who are not really doing anything that justifies treating them that way. And I have so many articles that I've read and posted to the Taser page on my website of very young children being tasered, women being tasered, elderly men and elderly women. There was an 87-year-old grandmother in Chicago. She was tasered because the cops came to her apartment, and they insisted on getting into her apartment for what they call a wellness check, because the social caseworker there, this lady didn't want the social caseworker to bother her that day, and she just told her to go away. So the caseworker calls the police. The police come in. They force their way into the apartment, and the woman, of course, this is Chicago. She doesn't know who's breaking in her apartment. She gets a hammer to defend herself because thugs are breaking down her front door. So because she has the hammer in her hand, not swinging it anyway, she has a hammer in her hand, these two burly Chicago police are incapable of telling an 87-year-old black grandmother to put the hammer down. So the first thing they do is they have to shoot a couple taser darts into her. So they had to take her off to the hospital. Fortunately, she recovered. It took her 6 weeks to recover in the hospital from the damage they did that day, but at least she was one of the lucky ones who could tell her story after the fact. There's been far too many people, young people. There was a man who, a young man, he was in his mid-20s, he was involved in an auto accident. The car that he was in the auto accident had burst into flames. And he was able to get out of the car, but his clothes were burned off because, you know, they caught on fire. and much of his skin was charred. And when the police came upon him, he was sitting on the sidewalk, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 feet away from the car. He might have had a small truck where the accident occurred. And because when the police came, there was two cops that came upon him. They told him to get up. Well, of course, the guy is dazed. He's just went through a terrible accident. And he must have been very injured because his skin was charred and his clothes were literally burned off. So they're approaching the guy as if he's some sort of whacked out drug addict or drunk who's nude on the street, and he's not obeying them fast enough. So the man is trying to tell him that I've been in an accident, I'm hurt, blah blah blah. The cops don't care what he says. They tell him, get up, lay down on the pavement, hot pavement. His skin is burnt from a fire. He can't do it because it hurts. So what do? They taser him. Instead of taking him to the hospital and treat him as an accident victim, they taser him because they didn't obey Officer Rambo. The fact that these two Officer Rambos were issuing orders which were totally inappropriate to the circumstances, instead of helping the man, they what they did, because he's nude, they put on rubber gloves because they don't want to touch him because he might have AIDS. And that was their reason for tasering him. They didn't obey us. We told him to get down if they didn't do it. And they were fearful that he might harm them, and he must have AIDS because he's nude. Therefore, he must have AIDS. So they taser him. And then they taser him again. And then the guy is so crazy with what's being done to him, he somehow gets in the vicinity of the squad car. And I guess he tries to climb on top of the squad car because they've already tasered him twice. He's trying to get away from these two animals. So what do? They pump 6 slugs into him while he's up on top of the cruiser, trying to get away from them. Now, why did they do that? Well, because he might have hurt them. He was just gesturing wildly. I mean, and yet these guys were never indicted. They were never taken off the police force. They're still driving around.
You know, Ken, I want to bring something up. And you know, we're talking about all these events. And there are hundreds and hundreds of them, as you well pointed out earlier. The fact that this weapon just appeared out of nowhere, I remember when it first came out, and it was a number of years ago, and there were complaints about it. Immediately, people started voicing complaints. And what occurred? The media started showing pictures of these officer training schools, the police academy. I remember they were showing pictures of them doing this in Los Angeles. All the cops were getting a sample of what it felt like to receive a 1 or 2 second burst of this taser weapon. And this was conditioning, this was intended to condition the public, to create the fear that, if you don't comply with the police, this is what's going to happen to you.
Yes.
As if, well, the cops went through it, so any citizen should be able to withstand this.
Yes.
And so they set it up that way, and no one really voiced any discontent after that. It was just accepted that this is going to be a weapon. I'm interested, did you do any research on how this actually came about, how these police agencies started getting it, who authorized it? Where might be the first agency that used it, and who makes it? Who manufactures it?
Okay, well, there's the biggest companies right here in the United States. It's called Taser USA, and they're a very big company. And they are the biggest propaganda outlet for the use and justification of tasers. Every time there's a taser killing, rather than the cops, local cops offer up a reason to the reporter, it's usually a mouthpiece from Taser USA that's presenting the, quote, evidence or for the justification and the use of this. So this company is very tightly embedded with the police departments around the country that are using tasers, and there's a lot of them. It's growing by leaps and bounds, and in most cases, the police departments that bought a certain... You know, by the way, the taxpayers are paying for these tasers. It's not like they're being given to them. The local taxpayers have to pick up the cost, and, this, and the you know, these guns aren't cheap, but the point is now they're trying to go to 100% taser deployment among, you know, all officers. It initially, maybe 200 or 300 or 400 have them, but for instance, there's over 4,000 cops with the Los Angeles Police Department, and they want to put, and they are putting a taser on every single one of those guys because they're shooting for another 1,000 men on the LA police force over the next year or two. They want to build up to 5,000. Now, as it is, every time the LA police show up somewhere, there's typically 30, 25, 30 squad cars, 60, 80, 100 cops that show up sometime. When you have a man who's barricaded in the house and he won't come out, and yeah, it's typically very modest numbers like that. Anytime you see the police closing in on somebody, it's overwhelming numbers. Overwhelming numbers.
I remember when I lived in California and I was in the Los Angeles area, and I saw the Rodney King beating on TV, and that man was struck 51 times with billy clubs by a whole army of police officers.
Yep.
Now, their statement was he was high on PCP and they couldn't subdue him. That man had his hands cupped over his skull, trying
Correct.
To protect his head
Correct,
from
right.
being struck.
Right.
He was stomped on and kicked
yes.
and beaten over the head, and to their chagrin, they found out that someone across the street from an apartment building caught the whole thing on videotape. And
yep.
I'm not condoning Rodney King's inebriation or anything like that. But it was obvious that that man was beaten to a living pulp.
Right.
For what? For speeding or for not stopping?
Right. It was a traffic deal. It was a traffic deal, and he just wasn't he just wasn't following orders fast enough, quick enough, and because he's a big man, they started to wail on him. And they just called in backup, and they kept on wailing on him. And like you said, if it wasn't for that videotape, we never would have heard about it. We never would have known about it.
And he was a black man in a predominantly white neighborhood.
Yep.
And even though this occurred on the freeway, and it was in the North Valley area near La Crescenta, I know the area very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that highway, I know that turnoff ramp, you know, the whole 9 yards, I know that area. And there's just nothing that warrants that. I mean, they had guns, they could have subdued him that way. There were enough
yes.
of them that they could have put him in cuffs. What did they do? They beat him.
Right.
And then the cops end up getting off.
Yes, I remember they were acquitted the first time around.
Oh, man.
Because of the riots that followed that they finally had a trial.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very bad development for America, and the American public has to demand of their local city police, and no point in going to the police. What you do is you go through the politicians to simply ban the use and forbid the use of taser guns. And I believe it's only when victims' families, the families of victims, particularly people who are killed by tasers, as I told you, in the vast bulk of cases, the tasering is unjustified, so that a man died for no good reason. Because in the vast bulk of cases, individuals who get tasered are not engaged in criminal conduct. That's easily 97, 98% of the cases. There's someone who's on the police. They may be inebriated. They may be high on drugs. They may just be homeless. But most often, they're mentally incapacitated. So they're, you know, they're people with mental difficulties or on the street. And because they're not responding instantly and doing exactly what the cop is telling them to do, that they're getting tasered. Now, there was other instances in which a man, he survived, thank God, but it was in the news. A man obeyed. He was an Iraqi war vet, and he was home on leave. And a cop, sheriff, in fact, told him to get out of the car. This is at night. And the man obeyed. Whatever the cop told him to do, he told him to lay down, put his, whatever the cop told him to do, he did. The cop shoots him in the back anyway. Why? I have no idea. But that guy wasn't indicted either. The only way these incidents are going to stop is that citizens have to go to their city council people. If more people are aware of just how unjust these tasering events are, more people read the cases. You can read it in the newspaper reports on the internet. Typically, when they report it, the report is very scanty as to what happened. They'll say the man was not complying with request, or in some cases they'll say the man is resisting arrest. Now, it's a normal reaction, particularly if you're a street person. If you're not doing anything that's illegal, but the cops start treating you roughly without justification, it's a normal reaction to, instead of meekly complying, you protest in some way. Hey, I'm not doing anything. What are you doing?
Even, or you defend yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Even just verbal retorts to what the cops are doing to you, that's considered resisting arrest.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even complain when you're being accosted and taken down or pushed around or unjustifiably being stopped or searched, etc. You can't even complain about it because now they label that resisting arrest, and that is the justification to pull out that 50,000 volt weapon of torture. Now, since you mentioned cops who use tasers are supposed to experience it once, I'm not sure that happens in all cases, but I do know this. I've read the statements from cops who went through the training, and what they say, and there was once a reporter I heard do a story on tasers on NPR, a female reporter. Mind you, these people get a hit for 1 or 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, I've yet to read someone say different than this. It was the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. Or a close second statement is, I never want to feel that sort of pain again.
And they have a mat to fall on, and there's usually people around there who are breaking their fall.
Yes.
Which doesn't happen on the street. You land on the concrete, on the pavement, on the sidewalk.
Exactly.
Or,
and you're getting it, this is the big thing, you're getting it, usually, the application is much longer, and you're going to get repeated doses, because what they can do is to keep on zapping you, they can pull the trigger. And as they pull the trigger, mind you, wires are running from the gun, barbs have penetrated your flesh, so you have two barbs sticking in your skin, and the guy is squeezing the trigger and applying 50,000 volts. And what they do is, after the charge dissipates, they reload the gun with another charge, hit you with another set of darts, or if they're right up against you, they can put the nose of the taser weapon right against you and zap you that way, just with the points of the contacts that are on the end of the gun. And they often do that. This is what they did in a case like Stanley Meyer. They already had the man handcuffed. He's on his face down. And so they're tasering him when he's completely bound in handcuffs. They have his you know, a cop has a knee on his neck and the other one's got a knee on his back, they taser him anyway. There's no justification for tasering someone who's already down. They're just doing it as a way to get that person to stop talking, to stop, quote, resisting. Well, when people are wrestling you, that it's a normal physiological reaction to push back. I mean, you just don't meekly go limp when people are hurting you like that. It's just not the way, you know, it's not a normal physiological response. You don't even think, you're not even thinking about it. When someone pushes you hard or you know, tries to, you know, wrap their arms around you, it's normal to resist. That's a normal physiological reaction. And to expect people not to do it is unreasonable. That's what people do when you pounce on them, particularly when you do it unjustifiably. You're outraged that you're being attacked like this, or you try to defend yourself. That's a normal response. And to use that, a normal response, as a justification for applying this incredible amount of pain that very often does result in the death of the person. Now, if the person doesn't die, imagine what the legacy is of this tasering event. What are the long-term effects to one's nervous system? I'm inclined to believe that it's substantial, and that when we suffer excessive trauma, let's say to our hearing when we're young, if we're in a rock band and, you know, we're a teenager and so forth, and we're playing for a few years in a rock band with amps turned all the way up to number 10, we don't notice the hearing loss in our 20s or maybe in our 30s, but by the time you hit the 40s, you notice the hearing loss. And then it gets worse, so that by the time you're in your 50s, it's... So when there's an extreme traumatization to one of our, you know, sensory mechanisms, it just because one doesn't experience immediate damage, it doesn't mean there isn't long-term damage. And I'm convinced, I'm utterly convinced, there's long-term damage to this excessive amount of voltage being applied. So even for people who survive an attack. Now, that's a physiological damage. How about the psychological damage? Do you imagine the anxiety and terror that a person carries around who's been severely tasered in a situation like that? This person now is cowed for the rest of their life. They're going to be afraid to speak up any time there's a cop anywhere in there. They of course, the goal is to make people intensely frightened. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but it's crippling people psychologically. So the person has this inner rage because, in most cases, as I said, they know they were tasered unjustifiably. And yet, they're going to be, you know, wholly frightened to incur that sort of attack again. So they're going to be reticent to say anything in front of a cops. And you know, we're going to produce a lot of people who are very frightened. We already are. These cop TV shows that you see all the time, particularly on Fox, on the Fox channel, which for me is Channel 11. You see more of them. For the longest time, there was that one show, which I guess is still on the air, simply called Cops. Dr. John Coleman mentioned in his book, it might have been his latest book on Tavistock, or maybe it was the book before that, that it's a mind conditioning tool. I doubt if ratings on that show is so high that it's being sustained because of audience participation. I don't know for a fact, but to me, when I see that, I'm cringing. I see one excessive act of barbarity by police against relatively innocuous people who, and this is the best they can film on TV. I mean, sure, they get the guy who's
taken out of the house, domestic dispute, and he's all angry, and they put him in the back of the squad car, and he tries to kick the windows. Yeah, we've all seen that. But there's too many cases in which people are could just be talked to and said they're really roughly manhandled, and they're arrested, and people are searched on the street, and it's typically a very roughshod treatment of people, and they're walking all over their constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Coleman mentioned the idea is to get us acclimated to this vision of police routinely walking on constitutional rights, so we, the viewing public, subliminally accept that as normal. This is what we expect. So no one's outraged about seeing this because, oh, well, you know, cops do that all the time because we see it on TV all the time.
Yeah.
And now they're showing these shows on, one's called Jail. I can't believe they're filming this and showing it on TV, but they took a guy out of a squad car. You can see he was probably inebriated. First thing he does when he's getting out of the car, he says, don't shock me again. So obviously they've tasered him already. They get him out of the car, and he's just not being as polite and, as, you know, perfect as he's supposed to be. There are three burly, huge cops, just the guy's the size of mountains. This guy's got his handcuffed behind his back. They're leading him along the corridor, and he's saying a word or two to other people, other prisoners in the corridor, and the cops claim he's trying to incite them into a racial thing. So they tell him to shut up, and when he doesn't shut up, they mace him in the face. And after they mace him in the face, they gotta go through a steel door with a glass insert. They use his head to open up the door with.
Mm-hmm.
They never stopped to push the door open. They kept on walking at the same full pace they were at, and they simply used his head as a battering ram to open the door. And they just kept on going through. Not a word was said, you know, the TV nothing was said, as if that's perfectly normal to just use a man's head to bash open a door so they can take him into the next room and sit him down. I'm just shocked beyond words of the barbarity that you see police exhibit towards people in their custody on television, and they keep on running these shows. And what's making sense to me is that it's conditioning the public to accept this barbaric behavior as okay, it's normal, because these guys are what? They're drunks, they're drug addicts, they're a guy who didn't pay his child support, you know?
They're
it's okay
the scum
to treat
of the earth.
Pardon?
They're the scum of the earth.
Scum of the earth, right. And
I'd like to make a couple of points here, Ken.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're almost out of time here.
Okay.
Many of these states where these deaths are occurring have outlawed capital punishment. I'm fairly certain. I don't think we have capital punishment in all of the 50 states.
No.
Number one, and we have supposedly we have a Justice Department that tries these cases in front of a jury, and in the event that a person is found guilty. In some of these states, they may serve a certain prison sentence, but it doesn't warrant being in this situation where the cops are acting as judge, jury, and executioner.
Correct.
That's really what's going on here.
That's what's going on.
Period. Now, there was a case that I had on my website, and I think you're familiar with this, and I think it bears mentioning just because of the particular circumstances. And this happened in Canada, and it involved a man who had a neurological disorder that affected his ability to comprehend language, it's obviously something you know, very debilitating for the man. But he was allowed to drive. 68 years old, he stopped on a street, and he was double parked, but let's say stopped. In a double park position. He didn't exit his vehicle, and he was dropping his wife off, and the cops came up and to him and said, I'm going to write you a ticket.
Right.
And the wife explained, you know, the problem that the husband had, and the cop said to her that he was going to arrest her for obstruction if she protested the ticket.
Yes.
So you're just supposed to take this treatment. In other words, I'm about to make some money, you know, for the system here, and if you open your mouth, you're going to be arrested. Now, he's already acted as judge and jury, telling her that she has no freedom of speech, that she can't even open her mouth and say anything under the threat of being arrested.
Yes.
What happens is he drives to a place, a parking lot, a bit further down the street, and got out of the middle of the road, and then they taser him.
Yes.
Not once, but twice.
Yes.
And very easily could have killed him.
Yep.
Now, this happened in Canada.
Yes.
Where you would think, you know, maybe things are a bit more civil.
Yep.
But again, we have this North American union that they're pushing for, and they're just doing the cookie cutter technique at law enforcement agencies around the country and in Canada, and I'm sure in Mexico. Now, in Mexico, whether or not they're using the taser, I don't know. But you have.
I don't believe they are.
But you have police brutality nonetheless. In fact, yes. The brutality is directed more towards foreign tourists than their own people, than
yes.
their own criminals.
Yes.
And it's usually over, them trying to get the money that the tourists have, because they know if they're from the United States and they're on vacation that they got money.
Mm-hmm.
So they create the circumstances
yes.
to have them illegally incarcerated
right.
with no civil rights whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, not that we have them anymore here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a pretext to get bribes.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And here in our country, the whole system is corrupt from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm appalled that this is going on, and I would hope that any listener to this show, whether it's live or in the archives, would be appalled to consider this. If they're ramping it up at the rate they are, and I think you said something like there's 4 to 5 of these deaths, is it a week or?
Well, I think you're getting 4 to 5 a month.
Is it?
So
okay.
It's way too high, because
there shouldn't be one.
There shouldn't be one, and they're unjustified killings in the vast majority of cases. They're simply unjustified, and you have a second crime being committed here by medical examiners, who are they're engaged in a conspiracy with the local cops to whitewash the autopsy so that there has not been one instant of a person who was murdered by a taser gun in which the medical examiner said the person died as a result of the effects from high voltage. In every case, either the reason for death is, quote, inconclusive, or it's because the person had drugs in their body, and typically they'll use a statement like this. And of course, in some instances, people who do get tased do have drugs in their body. But they'll put the statement like this, because I just read it on some guy who was killed in Chicago with a taser gun. Young man too, very, very young. He had a toxic amount, the medical examiner says, he had a toxic amount of cocaine in his system, or an amount that could be considered toxic. So please tell me, what amount of cocaine in your system is not toxic?
I don't know. I would ask the Bush family or Bill Clinton.
Yeah, they might know. But it seems to me that cocaine is a toxic drug. If you take enough of it, your respiration is going to stop, and you can OD, as they say. So it seems to me that's an easy one to whitewash the death, which is really due to tasers. In all these cases, these people are died because they've been tasered to death. That's why they died.
Well, they've been electrocuted. The taser is just a word that hides what.
Yeah, electrocuted happened. is
It's an electrocution.
It's an electrocution.
It pure and simple.
Yep.
You apply an electrical shock to someone and they die. That's called electrocution.
That's correct.
And that's capital punishment.
That's correct.
But more so than that, it's murder.
Yes, it is murder, and that's what I call it in my description of the whole tasering business. I do call it murder because that's precisely what it is, and we have to stop this. This is getting out of hand. More and more people of, let's say, more innocuous situations are being tasered, and it's just an abomination.
Yeah.
The only way it's going to stop, well, I think there's two ways. Family and friends of victims of tasering need to organize nationally, and they need to get some legal help. Because what you need to do is you need lawsuits being entered in, but you need a national organization, because a local lawsuit by just the victim's family, often poor people, they can't hire a high enough gun of an attorney, and very often a local attorney will not want to butt heads. They're not only butting heads with the police department, and no local attorney is going to do that. The reality of politics is that attorneys, judges, law enforcement, DA, they got a little cozy club there.
Oh, yeah.
And this is an Illuminati operation to put tasers in the hands of police. As you said in the beginning of the show, where did all this start? Well, we're going to explore that on another occasion, because it started from the Illuminati. That's where it started from, and the British particularly played a big role. As you know, the British installation of New World Order is about one or two steps just in front of us, you know. So when they install surveillance cameras everywhere, you know, first, and 2 or 3 years later, we have them all over our cities. And so England tends to take a lead in this. And as you said, I used to have a very benign view of Canadian police, because they used to be benign cops, you know, but no longer. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police, are now trained in the same brutal thought patterns and tactics that they're training our law enforcement here, and it's bad. It's very bad for America. We need police who uphold the law and defend citizens' rights, not execute them.
Well, it sounds, I don't know if we just got a call in or not. We're about to sign off here. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yeah, this is Mo from Oregon. How are you tonight?
Good. What's your name again?
I'm Mo from Oregon.
Oh, Mo. Okay, I think I've heard you on RBN before.
Oh, yes, I guess so. I guess we are all connected together, I guess.
Well,
so
I'm glad to hear from you.
Yeah, but do we have time to talk to you, or should I call you later on?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll keep the show rolling for a couple more minutes for you, Mo.
Okay, so this is the law of one community where mind, body, and spirit coexist. And I'm very angry with that, because, you know, mind and body, spirit goes together, and they are not separate from each other. And as long as, if mind is absent and body, spirit is there, then we have problem. If body is absent, mind and spirit are together, then we have problems. And we have, do you agree with that?
Oh, yes. In fact, I would go so far as to say, if you have mind and body and no spirit, you don't have a human being.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Yes. I mean, I was going to, yeah, exactly. You are right. So basically, when is your time show start? From 10 o'clock Pacific time?
It starts 10 Pacific every Monday through Friday.
And then through 11 o'clock Pacific time?
Yes. We try to wrap it up, but occasionally we get into some very heated discussions, and they give me a little bit of leeway. We have to thank Don Newsom and Seth, our engineer, for letting us run a little bit overtime.
Yeah, sure. All right, I will let you guys go tonight, but it was nice talking to you guys for the first time caller. And how, by the way, how do you know me that I call in the RBN?
Well, I used to be a guest on Michael Herzog's show for almost four months. I've been on the Rick Adams show, Charlie Giuliani. I've hosted John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report.
Oh, yeah, right.
I've been on many shows on the network, so...
Good. So you are familiar with my questions and line of questions. Excellent. We are all working for the benefit of the United States, and we don't want the United States to become another Cuba or Iran.
Yes,
so that's what we are working on.
Well, you keep listening, Mo, and you call in again, okay, and tell your friends about this show, because...
I just found it. I would do that, and I will talk to you guys sometime soon. Thank you very much, indeed, for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You see that, Ken?
Yes, there's
people coming out of the woodwork here to to respond to your message tonight. So this gentleman calls into many, many shows, and he always has something nice to say.
Wonderful.
Always asks good questions and... has an accent. I recognize that accent. In fact, many of my friends are from his...
Mm-hmm. Well, do we have a couple minutes left, or should we just say goodnight at this point and just pick it up again on another occasion?
Well, how would you like to conclude the show? I know I mentioned your website, I want to encourage the listeners to go there, educate-yourself.org. There is a mountain of information on Ken's website, and he is one of the highest-ranking websites in the world, especially for anyone doing any kind of research. And if you want to know about the New World Order, high technology, alternative medicine, he covers the whole gamut. And I don't want to take words out of your mouth. See, I get very excited when I talk about your website because I spend a lot of time there, and I spend time talking to you about these issues.
Well, thank you. I appreciate mentioning my site. Since tonight we talked about tasers, I would like to encourage people when they go to my site that I have a separate page, or what I call an index page, at my website devoted exclusively to the topic of police with tasers. And the easiest way to find that page is when you arrive at my website. I have a series of links. They're in rows at the top of every single page on my website. And there's currently 11 rows there now. And in one of those rows, I can't remember exactly, maybe fourth, fifth, or sixth down from the top, somewhere in towards the center at least, there's a link that says Police with Tasers, and click on that link, and you'll get to the section in which I give a introductory comment about the use of tasers in America. And then there's many articles that are linked there that are specifically about incidents of people who, in most cases, have been tasered to death, have been killed by the use of tasers. And we, meaning the American people, we need to organize locally to stop police from using tasers. And the only way that's going to happen is that we have to organize politically. And in every single city that has taser guns, locals must organize. And as I mentioned, the victims of people who've been killed by tasers and or shocked by tasers, they have an incentive to organize nationally, because unless lawsuits are brought and successfully won, if enough lawsuits are undertaken, and enough award money is paid out to family victims, and instead of settling out of court, which is what typically happens, in which part of the settlement agreement would be that you can't talk about the case or you can't even mention the amount of the award, that doesn't help future victims. We have to have trials that go to completion, and we have to have settlements that really hurt financially on the local level. And this way, when there's a big payout of a few million dollars, that's going to force the local citizens to jump down the mayor's neck and to jump down the common council's neck to say enough's enough. We don't want to be paying out money for these unjustified electrocution of people. We're simply going to stop using these weapons.
Well, you know, Ken, when we sue, we end up ultimately paying for the lawsuit anyway. You know, those funds.
Well, yes,
come out
that, of course, I understand taxpayers. You know, it's their money that's being paid out.
Right.
I understand that, but that's the way political pressure happens on a practical level. When you don't have lawsuits, you don't have citizens calling up and giving the mayor a piece of their mind and giving the police chief a piece of their mind. But when their taxes go up because they've just had to pay out a $5 or $10 million lawsuit for a taser death, and then another lawsuit follows that on its heel, that creates political heat. Sure, it'd be wonderful, and it'd be more desirable if people would organize just based on the principle of the wrongness of this.
Well, I agree with you in that sense. I would make a suggestion that we move to get murder charges filed against not just the police officers,
right. But
everyone in the city council, the mayor, everyone
who condoned the approval. Right, exactly.
Because that is abuse under color of authority.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely obstruction of justice.
Yes.
And it's conspiracy.
Yes.
And there's probably another 10 or 20 torts that we could add to that.
Yes.
But I would say this is, you know, there are other methods. You know, they always move to the money, but they can create it out of thin air. So that doesn't really deter them.
I agree with you. When heads start rolling, there was one case in which, because of a tasering incident, it might have been in Baltimore, I'm trying to recall now, because of a tasering incident, it was, as usual, being whitewashed by the chief of police and then even the police commissioner. But the local people, I think it was a black community, they were so incensed of this whitewashing and lack of indictments that they absolutely forced the police commissioner to resign. Well, he should have been indicted for obstruction of justice, but that was one case in which the locals said, "We ain't taking it anymore." And they got hot enough and they got organized enough and they forced this guy from his office, from the police commissioner position. That needs to happen a lot more often. Every time a local police chief stands up for some cop who, tases someone and doesn't even take them away, typically what they do is they send them on vacation paid vacation, for a month or so. That's what they did down in Florida in the case of the campus police. They simply sent them on vacation. They paid them for 6 weeks, and then they were allowed to come back on the job. So they're rewarded rather than punished.
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time. I would like to see somebody go after the companies that make these things.
Yes.
Because they're not deterrents, they're deadly weapons.
Right.
And they're being misrepresented.
Right.
There's a company in Scottsdale, Arizona, called Taser International.
Yeah, that's the one I mentioned. I said Taser USA, but that is the big one, Taser International.
Well, maybe we should consider bringing them in some legal action as well.
Yep.
You know, we are out of time now, Ken. I want to thank you for coming on the show, especially feeling a bit under the weather tonight. I appreciate it, and I'm sure the listening audience did as well. I want to encourage all of the listeners to go to Ken's website. Again, educate-yourself.org. Spend some time on that website. You will be amazed at the amount of research information is there. I also have a link to Ken's site on my website, directlightproductions.com. Pay it a visit. You'll see some of Ken's work in my archives section as well. And he's a prolific writer, and you do yourself a favor to read this man's work. His heart is behind what he writes. It's not just his mind. And he's got a lot of answers and a lot of great solutions. And we will have you back again soon, Ken, to continue this and other discussions.
Well, thanks, Don. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
And I'm honored to have you are like the man with your website, you know. Your rankings are just off the charts. And, you know, I congratulate you on all the hard work. I know how much effort you put into it.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing you again very soon.
Okay, Don, thanks.
All right. You have a good night. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Our guest tonight was Mr. Ken Adachi from educate-yourself.org, and he will be back again soon. In the meantime, I want to thank Don Newsom and Seth Hendrick, our engineer, for doing such a great job, and a special thanks goes out to Mo from Oregon for calling into the show. So nice to hear your voice, Mo, and do call in again. In the meantime, join us tomorrow night. We've got a great show planned. Kenny Love will be on. It's the first time I've had two Kens in a row on the show. So Ken is a musician, and he's got his own record label. He's in music publishing, and he's also very knowledgeable about what's going on in the rest of the world. And you're going to find him to be a very interesting guest. I'm looking forward to that interview tomorrow night. Friday is Jim Murray, and we're going to be talking about some of the forbidden sciences out there and the new technologies that we could be taking advantage of. So with that, I'm going to wish everyone peace, love, and light, and have a very good night.
Beans, we got our coffee, and we got this real nice campfire. Now all we need is the radio. Go get that radio so we can listen to BBS.
Gosh, Don, boss, we got this here radio, but we ain't got no batteries.
Well, I told you to buy some batteries yesterday, but you forgot to buy them today.
A man can only do so many things in one day. Go into town and get some for the both of us.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dagnabbit, you and your BBS radio.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com.